Merry meet. My name is Ariel, and this is A Witch's Primer, Basic Training in Non-Denominational Witchcraft. Join in the discussion at thedcw.999.org. That's thedcw.999.org. Blessed be. Welcome back. I am delighted to be with you again today. And today, on this Witch's Primer, I could really go on and on and on preparing you for casting spells. But I thought we would start out with an introduction to spell casting today. I'm going to answer some questions first, but I want to get into an introduction to spell casting today. So you can start to have some results, some practical results in your life. And then we'll go back and we'll do more of the theory and more of the development side of the primer. Because I don't want you to wait. There's no reason why you should wait to have some success, because that'll charge you up to get you wanting to do even more of this work and make yourself even more effective. Okay, but I do want to answer just a few questions before we get down to it here. All right. Okay, Zobiana from our board asks, is it possible for an energy center to be overactive? For example, if I can't seem to get my emotions under control, which is what she considers a throat chakra experience, what would I do, or for lack of a better word, to regulate that energy center? For about a year, I've been doing a chakra cleansing meditation on a weekly basis. It's really wonderful. And afterwards, I always feel like energy is flowing freely. So I think that all of my energy centers are open. But I do wonder if several are too open or overactive. Thank you. Oh, and I'm female. Well, thanks for giving me your gender so I don't continue to do that. Okay, and then Aislinn also has a related question to the energy centers. While I was balancing the centers of the third eye and crown, the energy center directly behind my third eye at the back of my head started opening and was spinning intensively. In the past, I've done meditations with my meditation group, which has brought awareness to this energy center, but I've never really physically felt it activated. It lasted for a while, and even when it slowed down, I was aware of the area for the rest of the day. When I went to bed that night, it started up again. I was so awake, it took me a while to fall asleep. So I can relate to Zobiana's question when I was thinking, should I be slowing this chakra down? Another question is about this energy center. I don't know as much about it as the main, quote, seven. My yoga training and books have touched on it a little, but from a yoga perspective, can you tell me any more about this energy center from your experience? I'm really intrigued about it. Also, when the center first started vibrating, I was experiencing healing in the throat and ear center. Okay, so Aislinn and Zobiana, and I think Aislinn is a she, and I don't even know if I'm saying the name right. Okay, both very good questions. You'll get a lot of different answers from different people. Everybody's got their own perspective and ways of approaching the energy centers. I don't personally like to do work to shut down or slow down a center, because what we're striving for is balance. So if one center is feeling overactive, it's, in my experience, a result of a lack of balance. So I would in turn rather open up the other centers and feel a free-flowing energy. Also, grounding and centering, letting excess energy drain through the body. Now, you know, if you're grounding and centering every day, which I recommend, if you feel like you've got too much energy anywhere in your body, one thing you can do is kneel down on the ground and put your palms flat on the ground and feel as though all the excess energy, you really relax, feel like all the excess energy is draining away through your body and especially through the palms of your hands, and just feel all that energy, just like the feel the earth just drawing excess energy out of your body. And if you feel like you've drained too much energy, you ground and center again and you raise a little bit more. But again, I don't like to shut down energy centers. I like to keep them spinning. And if one is feeling overactive, think of it in terms of, okay, that one's active and the other ones are not as active. Because if they're all active and in balance, nothing is going to feel too active and you're never going to feel hyper. You should just feel very alive. So another thing you might want to do is really focus on the salt and water purification, like doing long hot baths and gently scrubbing your body down with sea salt. And you know, I was listening, nobody bothered to tell me this, that I misspoke on the very first Witch's Primer podcast when I said use a very coarse grain of sea salt to give yourself an exfoliation. I meant a very fine grade of sea salt. So you want it ground very, very, very finely so that you can gently scrub your body. You don't want to scratch yourself with big old coarse chunks of rock salt. So I really misspoke. And if I get time, I might even go and correct that. that was a mistake on my part. So anyway, so a nice soak in a hot bath, scrub your body down with sea salt. That'll also help you to balance and regulate those energy centers. Smudging your body also. Just go back to lesson one. Those are, you know, just because it's lesson one doesn't mean that they're baby lessons. They're very important for everybody to do those purifications on a regular basis, especially the more advanced you get. So anyway, those are good questions. I hope I answered them. I don't know how to pronounce this person's name. It's either Rian or Ryan. And I think this person's told me their gender before, but I don't remember what it is. So he or she, who's a very good poster, by the way, I'm not sure, posts quite a lot of nice things on the board. Says, could the higher self of someone I know be my spirit guide? This is not what I experienced in the spirit guide meditation. It's something I thought I experienced in the past. However, maybe it was just fiction in my mind, if such things are possible. You know, that's a great question, and I have absolutely no idea of what's possible in other realms. Anything's possible as far as I'm concerned. Traditionally, the way that it's taught is spirit guides are not incarnate beings, but when you're talking about a higher self, you're plugging into the collective, you know, the whole collective unconscious mind. There are, I'm sure, levels of being where labels and individual personalities and stuff become meaningless. So on some level, yes, I'm sure that is possible, but I have no idea. And I'm sorry, I'm not that all-knowing and all-wise to be able to answer that question. But it's a great thing to ponder. I would recommend that you meditate on that and ask your guide. But thank you for that. Let's see, what else did we have coming in here? Right, we have, okay, Ryan, again, had another great question here. You say in the class on the topic of the power of concentration, this was the Fire Body Week, that there are a few choice things to try. Looking at a candle flame, the second hand of a watch, or think Blessed Be while inhaling, exhaling. I'm trying Blessed Be. I can understand with the other two because they are visual. I imagine that it's just to put everything else out of one's mind. But I do not have access to those materials, fire, analog, watch. When closing my eyes, that thinking Blessed Be, I'm seeing the letters of the words or hearing the sounds of them in my mind. That captures my imagination. What color are the letters, the tone of the voice, etc.? Uh-huh. Right. So what single point should I be concentrating on? Okay. You know, it doesn't really matter. You can use any kind of device that works for you. I've heard of people just putting a dot on a piece of paper and then focusing on the dot. You could use a digital watch. You could use a metronome. There's anything that you want that you can keep bringing your focus of concentration back. Remember, we don't want to strain. It's okay for you to only keep concentration for moments or seconds, and then gently, gradually expand the your ability to maintain concentration. It's a toning up exercise. It's a building exercise. Nothing should ever feel strained, but it is a good question. So thank you for that. All right, now we have. Well, this is a very important question from Angelica. Pretty sure that's a she. I have a question that's been bothering me since I first started listening to A Witch's Primer. Is it essential for me to try to contact a spirit mentor before I go to the spirit body lessons? I'm doing well with the grounding and centering. I'm comfortable with the orb of light. Even though I can feel the energies better than I can visualize them, I've also been performing the purifications mentioned in the first episode, etc. When I listen to the Spirit Mentor podcast, though, I just don't feel like I'm ready to try and contact these beings. I really don't know why. I realize that you have recommended these podcasts be done in order, but I really want to do the spirit body lessons before I seek out a spirit mentor. Could you give me some guidance and a reassurance on this? I would really appreciate it. Yeah, if you don't want to do something, don't do it. Just because I say, you know, this is the next lesson, if it doesn't feel comfortable, you got to trust your gut. So if your inner guidance says that you need to do something out of order than what I gave you, that's your bottom line. That's your bottom line. So yeah, always you're the authority on your own work. Now, and that's answering your question, Angelica. Now, in general, be aware of the difference between your inner guidance guiding you somewhere and you being lazy, which is not what I'm getting from this post at all, by the way, Angelica. I don't think you're being lazy. But but realize that if you're just being lazy and I don't want to do the building my power base exercises. I just want to go right into casting spells. You can do that. There's nobody going to sue you. It's not like I say all the time, there are no witch police, but you're not going to get the effect of magic that you deserve. You have to know that there's a difference between, okay, my inner guidance, by the way, Angelica, that inner guidance is your spirit guide. Okay. So you have contacted this being. So just because you don't want to have that formal introduction yet, or don't feel ready for that, you know, you're being led internally. So that's good. That's your inner teacher anyway, but don't confuse, oh, my inner teacher said da 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 with, I don't feel like doing it. I'm just being lazy. Also, be aware of the tendency with oneself and with another to use, oh, my spirit guide told me blah 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 as an excuse for something. A lot of times we can be this is, none of this stuff is an excuse to be to indulge ourselves in any kind of delusions. So if your spirit guide says something, you still have to take responsibility for whatever it is, whether you choose to accept or reject what your spirit guide says. Remember, your spirit guide is not God. Your spirit guide is a spirit. Hopefully you've contacted your spirit guide properly according to the methods that I've set out so that you can, be in a teacher-student relationship. But in any teacher-student relationship, whether incarnate or not, you are responsible. You are 100% responsible for your actions and your thoughts. So just because any teacher, whether it's a spirit guide or a physical teacher, tells you to do something, you are still responsible for the consequences of your actions. So don't use that excuse of, oh, my spirit guides taught and told me blah, blah, blah. You know, when you know full well that you shouldn't be doing something. So don't allow yourself to be deluded. The whole idea of spirit guides is to get away from delusion. And again, that was just, had nothing to do with Angelica and her question. That just reminded me of some stuff that I always like to talk about. Okay, Ryan, if I'm saying your name wrong, you'll have to send it to me phonetically because it might be Rianne. Posted again. Really, see that some people are really great about using these discussion boards, and that's what we love. We're talking about the water body. We're looking at the faith. You know, we're looking at our beliefs, and this person posts, I ask, what do you believe about your health, Ryan? And I hear silence. Money, silence. The craft, silence. Science, anything. Hello? The program is not responding. All right? So if you're not getting something out of an exercise, try another approach. Here's another method you might want to use. Write down your situation in your life, or a condition in your life. And then ask yourself, what kind of beliefs might a person with this condition have? And then just use your imagination and see what you come up with, and write them down. Another way you can kind of trick your mind into showing you your beliefs is, what would my beliefs about whatever be if I did know what they were? And just make them up. And just start making things up. You'll get it. You just have to be consistent and persistent with it. Again, it's not about straining, but don't accept that from yourself. It's like, yeah, just because your mind is being a little stubborn about giving up some of its beliefs doesn't mean that it's in charge. You're in charge. So if you want to know what your beliefs are, you'll have them. The other thing you can do is, as you're going to sleep, as you're falling off to sleep, repeat to yourself a sentence such as, all of my hidden beliefs are making themselves known in easy and comfortable ways. All of my hidden beliefs are making themselves known in easy and comfortable ways, you know, as you're going to sleep. And that way your deep mind is a little bit more accessible to you as you're doing that. And then as you wake up in the morning, try the exercise first thing in the morning and see if maybe you can't crack open a little bit more of that. Okay? And then Midnight also posted on the same topic and says, I am now on day 6 of the water body. It seems kind of funny because the first few days I haven't been able to remember my dreams. Day 4, I remembered a tiny bit of my dream, and then more on day 5, and even more last night. Perhaps it's just something I needed to work up to. And that's wonderful, Midnight. That's very, very common. The more your deep mind understands that you're taking notice, the more information it's willing to give to you. And you're building a relationship with this deep mind. And sometimes, as long as you're not predisposed to psychosis or anything, again, this is why I like everybody to be in therapy, or at least get the okay of a therapist. Because I don't want, I don't want you playing these very powerful games with yourself if your mind's not capable of handling it. But one thing you can do is, like I've said before, is treat your deep mind, your magical self, as if it were another person. You can give it a name, or use your magical name and talk to it as if it were another person. You know, like if your magical name was Wind Whistle, just say, Wind Whistle, I am wanting to know more and more of my dreams, and as I'm going to sleep tonight, I want you to present me with more of my dreams in the morning. And just talk to your deep self as if it were your magical self, as if it were another person, and create a friendship with your magical self. Create a relationship. All right, here's the fun part. We're gonna start casting spells. Yay. Okay, now this is just real basic stuff. We're gonna get into all the moon phases and the timing and the planets and the colors and the trappings and the candles and the poppets and the powders and the herbs and the oils and the incenses and all that stuff as time goes on. But I just wanna get you going to start working with getting some things for yourself that you want. So the first thing that we want to do when we're casting a spell is we want to start making lists. And as you can tell, I'm very firm believer in organizing things. So get out your book of shadows or just a piece of paper and start making a list. And I want you to make a list of 10 short-term goals, things that you want like within the next week or two, 10 midterm goals, something that you want within the next 3 to 5 years, you know, somewhere in that, or a year, you know, whatever you want a midterm goal to be. And then I want you to do 10 long-term goals, like, you know, maybe getting a degree or buying a home or, you know, traveling around the world or whatever you consider a long-term goal might be. Another way to, you could, if it's helpful within those three categories, you can do three subcategories of be, do, and have. So you maybe a few things that you want to be, a few things you want to do, and a few things you want to have. Okay? And that's first and foremost. I want you to actually get those things down on paper. So you should have at least 30 goals. And if you don't want to have 10 long-term goals, then put more in the short-term goal category. But I want you to have a lot. I want you to have at least 30 on your paper of things. And if you can't start thinking of things you want, start playing games with yourself like, okay, if money were no option, or if I had all the time in the world, or if I could do anything I ever wanted to do, what would it be? It could be anything. It could be learning how to play the zither. I don't care. Whatever you want to do, put it down there. All right. And then go over your short-term goal list. That means something that you want soon. And find maybe just whatever, maybe two or three are the ones that really get your juices flowing. What are the ones that you want the most? You just want them. You know, it could be something really simple. And of those two or three goals that you want the most, and you just are so excited about the possibility of doing, being, or having those things, which one of those goals do you think would be the easiest thing for you to have? So you're going to have a short-term goal that's fairly easy, that you could definitely obtain it even without magical means, fairly quickly, fairly easily, but you really want it. You really, really want it. It could just be a new cushion for your couch. I mean, I don't care what it is, but it's got to be something that you really can get worked up about. Okay? All right. So now, for the basic intro spellcasting, what I want you to do is I want you to write a little chant, write a little ditty about this thing or whatever it is. And it needn't be more than 4 lines. And I would love for it to be able to rhyme. And I would love for it to be able to have some sort of meter. So something like, with great pleasure and great ease, my new camera does please. You know, something easy. Something that's doesn't have to be, you don't have to be very, you don't have to be very poetic. Just a quick little ditty, a quick little chant that you can chant over and over again. Okay, so I want you to write that down in your book of shadows. All right. And then I want you to, if it's a thing is kind of the easiest one to start with. So if possible, let it be something to have rather than a be or a do, if possible. So something that you could, maybe get a little picture of it, if possible, just get a little picture of whatever it is that you want and paste that in your book of shadows. And then maybe put the chant under it. And then all I want you to do is do your grounding and centering, your orb of light, and your spirit body meditation, and get into a really deep, deep trance. And gently, so that you can open and close your eyes as necessary to see that picture, see yourself receiving whatever this thing is while you chant your little chant. It's that easy. There's your first spell, right? So, and what you want to do is and again, a lot of people say, oh, no, 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 you should be in a magic circle. And oh, no, 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 you should have your candle. You should have a candle thing with runes on it. And oh, no, you need a certain kind of oil. You need a certain kind of incense. We'll get into all that. Yes, those things will help enhance it. But just right now, I want it to be a mental spell. I want you to want it. I want you to see it. I want you to be in a deep state of trance inside your orb of light. And I want it to be fun, easy, quick, fun, simple little spell. And remember, spells done in rhyme work 9 times 9. So it's a good idea to get used to writing your little ditties, your little chants for your spell, because it has a way of kind of reaching itself into your deep mind. Don't worry about timing. Don't worry about the moon phase. Don't worry about the day of the week. Don't worry about any of that stuff right now. We'll get into that later to give your spells more potency. But right now, I want it to be a simple, little, easy spell. And I want you to do it every day for at the same time of day as possible until you get this thing. And I want you to be very clear about writing down in your book of shadows every single day, or whatever you use, your diary, every single day, very easily, what you did. You know, and you don't have to rewrite the whole spell. Just, you know, I did my camera chant. You know, I did my grounding, centering, orb of light, spirit body, and camera chant. That's it. And when you get your camera, obviously, you don't do the spell anymore. I want you to be able to see a result within 7 to 10 days. If you don't see a result within 7 to 10 days, stop doing the spell. It'll happen when it happens. But this first preliminary spell casting, I want you to be able to see something happen within 7 to 10 days, even if you have to go out and make it happen in the physical world. So that's why I want you to start out with something easy that doesn't really even require magic to get. All right? But what will probably happen is you'll see something, you'll get this thing in a way that was a little easier or in a little weirder way than you would have normally gotten it. Somebody might buy it for you. You might find the money in the street for it. You never know what'll happen. But just be open to it. So this may seem a little easy, but that's okay. It doesn't need to be complicated. Just remember that you're grounding and centering. You're doing your orb of light. You're opening your energy centers with the spirit body. You're aligning those bodies. All right. And then all you do is stay in that deep state of mind, see what you want, and make sure you want what you see. Keep your mind focused by using a little chant, and make sure that the chant is something that you have created yourself. It does not need to be Shakespeare. And keep it up for about a week. And if it doesn't happen after about a week or a little bit more than a week, stop. And it'll happen when it happens, but we don't want you to keep doing it over more than a week to start with. And you'll probably surprise yourself. And if you don't get the success that you want, know that it's on its way. And the other thing you can do is contact us on the board, and we will help you troubleshoot it. Now, one other thing that you might want to think about is if you have an altar, just have a white candle. A single white candle is fine. And you can use the same candle over and over again. It's not for anything other than to give atmosphere to your meditation and to your spell. You're not charging the candle to be a spell candle. It's just a single white candle. When you're finished with your spell each day, you want to thank your spirit guide if you're in touch or you work with your spirit guide, and any other friendly spirits who have been gathered. All right. It's also, you could, if you want to, make sure that you have your chalice of water, your pentacle, or a little dish of earth or salt, and maybe a little incense burning or a feather or something to so that you have each element represented on your altar. That's a good practice to get into, is to have a balance of those four elements on your altar to keep you grounded into those four sides of your pyramid, so that your mind is focused on the fact that you're powerful. And again, after you're done, just extinguish the candle. It's usually a good idea to use a snuffer, but if you want to gently blow out the candle, that's fine. And before you do so, thank any spirits who've gathered, and for their help and their assistance in your spell work. If you have a little salt in your water before you start your spell, remember that water has attracted very positive spiritual energy, so you may as well use it. Sprinkle it about your room, sprinkle it about your home, sprinkle it about your altar, pour it over your threshold to bless your home, and then go about your day. Your daily magic should never take you more than 20 to 30 minutes. Don't make it into some big, hard task. It should be fun. All right. Now, again, we're going to be doing all kinds of stuff to make things bigger and better and more elaborate and all of the trappings that are so helpful to us in the craft. But even when we do add all that stuff, all of the extra stuff, it's always going to boil down to those little steps, those little basic steps that we've outlined here. That's all it is. It's that simple. But remember that all this time that you have been spending building your power base is going to make what you're doing in this simple little spell casting a powerful whammy. It's not going to be some little daydream anymore, because you have learned how to strengthen your will, to strengthen your imagination, to strengthen your faith, and to allow yourself to keep it silent, to keep it powerful, and to keep it sacred. You are using all four sides of that pyramid, plus the fact that you have all that energy that you're opening up to, and we're going to increase that energy flow as time goes on, that what you're doing now is more than just a little creative visualization exercise. You're actually opening up the floodgates to empower your magic. Hopefully that makes some sense, and I hope that you have a lot of fun. Enjoy this. This should tide you over for a few weeks, because we're going to go back to some more building exercises. We're going to go back to the drudgery. We're going to go back to the nuts and bolts again of building your power and all of the stuff that might be a little more boring, but very, very necessary part of making you more powerful and more effective in magic. All right. Well, this has been a lot of fun as usual, and I can't wait to spend some more time with you. It looks like I'm going to be with you about every other week, just because I've been neglecting my other podcasts and I just don't have time for all of it, just because I'm so busy. But I will be here at least every other week. Again, please get on the boards if you haven't already. thedcw.999.org. You can also email me. It's ariel@thedcw.org. And if you have any questions, any comments, anything at all, we love to hear from you. Please join us. And until next time, love and many blessings.